Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we'll be joined by Alabama head coach Nate Oates. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also a reminder to find and listen to the College Hoops Today podcast on all the popular podcast platforms. And send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And I want to let you know today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast being sponsored by Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Now we've got you set for all your Geico needs. To me, the big story in the weekend in college basketball was something that happened off the floor. Michigan's entire athletic department announced that the Wolverines athletic department will be undergoing a 2-week pause due to COVID-19. Michigan obviously playing as well as any team in college basketball, not named Gonzaga or Baylor. And this is one thing we need to look at, and this is one thing we need to be mindful of. One of the reasons, or the primary reason, for this move by the University of Michigan was because the athletic department was obviously penetrated and infiltrated with the new strain of COVID-19. Now, the one thing that I don't want people to do right now is to be anything out of the ordinary. It's a pause. It's frustrating. Michigan's playing great basketball. I understand that people obviously want to start jumping to conclusions and talk about, you know, what could happen. What could this mean for February? What could this mean for the NCAA tournament? If you're listening to this podcast and you want some reassurance, just understand this. We are having an NCAA tournament. We may have abbreviations during conference tournaments because there's a lot of other circumstances that are going to go in along with those conference tournaments. But this is a quote that I read, and I want to share it with you right now because there's so much negative energy right now, not just around college basketball and the coronavirus and so on and so forth, but this is what's something I think that can be useful on a lot of different fronts. And it's not just about what I'm talking about. It's about life. It's a quote by Irma Bombeck. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it never gets you anywhere. And that would be my advice to everybody who wants to jump to conclusions after what happened at Michigan and what obviously is going to happen several times between now and the end of the season. And if you've listened to this podcast and you've heard me on different platforms, you know what I'm about to say. We're dealing with a once-in-a-century global pandemic. There is going to be cancellations. There's going to be postponements. Things may have to be amended in terms of conference tournaments. Things may have to be amended in terms of the NCAA tournament. As a matter of fact, they already have been amended because the tournament is being obviously held in only one place, and that's Indianapolis. But we're having a tournament, and nothing is going to stop that. Now let's get to basketball. Florida State's just scratching the surface on what it can possibly do this season. The Seminoles have rolled in their last four ACC games, and talking to several coaches who went against Florida State the last couple of weeks, they admitted to me that those teams that went against Florida State are just flat out intimidated by the Seminoles. And here's the thing you have to love. Scotty Barnes, Florida State's talented five-star freshman, has still not played vintage basketball this season. He came in with high pedigree due to injuries, due to playing a new position. Remember, he started his, obviously, basketball career in high school playing power forward. Now he's playing point guard. He has not been, you know, somebody who's exploded like a volcano. Scotty Barnes can get a lot better. So can Florida State. Another observation from over the weekend, an incredible week for Jared Butler, and this is why players opt to come back to school. This is why Jared Butler came back to Baylor for weeks like he had last week. In two games against Kansas and Oklahoma State, averaged 26 points and 8 assists, was unbelievable, shooting 67% from the field, and also 13 to 16 from three, playing right now like the best guard in college basketball. And as we look at the SEC, you're starting to see some separation from two teams in this conference, Alabama and Missouri. They will meet February 6th in Columbia. I'm starting to wonder, though, with what we're seeing at Kentucky, with what we've seen at Florida with Keontae Johnson obviously sidelined due to the heart issue, and what we're seeing from LSU from a lack of defensive intensity, will the SEC get five teams in the NCAA tournament? Two that we know are going to be there with a chance to advance, Alabama and Missouri. Alabama has been on a tear since losing to Western Kentucky at home in December. And the head coach of the Crimson Tide, Nate Oates, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. Alabama is one of the hottest teams in college basketball. The Crimson Tide will play host to Kentucky on Tuesday night. The head coach of Alabama is Nate Oates. He now joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. And Nate, there is one question right now which we have to lead with, which has been ignored by every member of the media that's interviewed you since you've obviously been the head coach of Alabama. Have you seen my cousin Vinny?
I have not. I actually took all social media off my phone, maybe back in November, but I can still get to Twitter on my computer occasionally. It's just better if it's not right there in your hand. But so I saw everybody tweeting that at you, trying to get you to make that the tag, and then somebody had to explain it to me. I think one of our managers maybe, or one of my assistants. I've never seen it. I didn't even know what it was until. So apparently a guy comes down from New York to Alabama and gets stuff straightened out or something is what would fill me in.
Yeah, in between watching tape on, obviously, Kentucky, and then you're going to play Oklahoma on Saturday, maybe in transit, you know, when you guys are flying to Norman later in the week, you can watch My Cousin Vinny, because that is the tagline that I've obviously given to you in Alabama. But I'm more curious about something else you said. You said you took social media off your phone a couple months ago. How liberating was that?
You know, it was actually pretty good. I did it before the Maui deal, because you got three games in 3 days. So that week, at the beginning of that week, I'm like, I really get locked in. Shoot, after doing it that week, I'm like, man, I might keep it off. So I put it back on for like a weekend. And I was like, man, I don't really miss it that much. You know, like, because you go to your phone and realize you save yourself a bunch of time. You get on Twitter, and next thing you know, you wasted 30 minutes of your time thinking you're going to spend 2 minutes on it. So it's been all right. I miss all the tweets from you, but I can always go on my computer if I need to and get those.
Well, if there's every Alabama win moving forward, it will be Nate Oates, My Cousin Vinny. And obviously, if you've seen the movie, you know it's a tough adjustment for anybody sometimes from New York to adjust to living in Alabama. But I'm curious for you. I know you have roots in Michigan. I know you lived in Western New York when you're the head coach of Buffalo. What has it been like for you adjusting to life in the South?
You know what? I like it down here. Obviously, I'm looking at it's 75 degrees down here today, so I don't know what it is up there in New York, but it's probably not 75.
No, definitely not.
The people are super friendly. No, my family's adjusted well. It's the first time I've lived down in the South. You know, I grew up in Wisconsin, and Packers took a bad one yesterday, but then I lived in Detroit for 11 years, and I was in Buffalo for six, so first time in the South, but we're liking it. As soon as the season's over, you can get right out on the boat. I mean, you don't have to wait for the ice to thaw off the water. You get on your boat down here.
Well, it also helps when you have a really good team, and you have a team right now that has emerged as one of the best teams in the country. But, you know, Nate, it seems like a lot of times in sport and in life, before you can reach great heights, you have to deal with adversity. You know, Alabama's 4-3 in late December, after a loss at home to a very good Western Kentucky team. What happened after that game?
Well, we kind of had some deep discussions as a team about what we wanted to be about. I mean, we had some really good work in the summer, fall. And then kind of like you said, you don't really find out what you're truly about. You can have a lot of great conversations until, you know, adversity hits. And then you got to find out what you're truly made of. So little adversity hit. I didn't think we all handled it that great. We kind of had a couple guys, you know, think about where you really want to be here, what you want out of this season. Take a week, think about it, kind of met with the team. And, shoot, once we came back from that, I thought we had two really good practices. We actually played pretty well against East Tennessee State, particularly in the second half. I thought the camaraderie, the chemistry, the energy was where we wanted it. And then we've kind of taken off since then. So it's pretty it's been a pretty good run ever since that Western Kentucky loss. I think our guys – They're playing for each other more, and their attitudes, it just seems like we're all about the right stuff. Like everything we had talked about in the summer and the fall is coming to fruition now.
Alabama head coach Nate Oates joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. The Crimson Tide have been tearing through their schedule. Winners of their last nine games that will host Kentucky Tuesday night, 7 Eastern in Tuscaloosa. Well, Nate, you know, you and I had talked a couple times in the preseason, and, you know, we talked obviously about the great offensive potential your team had, but last year your team was not a great defensive team, and you have turned into now one of the best two-way teams in college basketball. How has Alabama basketball made the strides from last season to this one on the defensive side of the floor?
I thought we did a pretty good job. I thought, like, back when the COVID hit and everybody was kind of shut out of the gym, our staff kind of really started coming up with some projects and going through them on Zooms with the guys. So I think, you know, our staff's done a good job. Charlie Henry's in charge of our defense. I think he's done a good job, our whole staff as a whole. But you can coach everything all you want. If you don't have the right players to – institute, it's not going to be there. So I thought, you know, we've got a roster that's a little built more towards how we want to play. We got longer athletic wings. You know, Herb Jones is healthy. Speaking of Herb, by the way, John, I agreed to do this podcast with you. I'm going to have a couple questions for you, too.
Sure.
So you put out a 10 glue guys list.
Yeah.
I'm just asking you, if you could redo your 10 glue guys list, would you redo it or not?
No, because I think Herb is significantly better than a glue guy. For me, a glue guy is somebody that's, you know, obviously kind of, you know, filling cement in between the cracks, like my man, like Brad Davison on Wisconsin. Herb Jones, to me, is a guy who's one of the best players in the SEC and obviously one of the best players in the country.
All right, because I thought he's more like a glue guy that also had really good offense. So you're going to put him up for, like, did you have him on, like, preseason player of the, like, first-team SEC, all-SEC preseason or not? Where did you have him on that list?
Well, I didn't probably have him on that list, but it would definitely change today.
Okay, so that's
the guy I was probably most bullish on your team, in addition to John Petty, was Jaden Shackelford.
Shaq had an unbelievable freshman year. Shaq was the leading returning scorer in the SEC, I believe.
Yeah, I know. I've always thought Herb was well beyond a glue guy. What he is, he's a modern day Stacey Augman.
It's actually a really good comparison with the lefty.
Yeah,
he's shooting it better than Stacey shot. I mean, he's shooting like 50% from three. He's really worked on his shot and done a great job of that. I like that. I'm good with that. If we say he's a lot better than just a glue guy, but I speaking of the defense, though, to go back to it, and you're bullish on Shaq. Part of the reason we're much better on defense is some of the guys improved their own defensive skill. And Shaq may be the best one out of all that. I mean, he as a freshman. And again, most freshmen struggle defensively. You know, they haven't had to guard. They get to stay in the game no matter what. They're that good on offense as high school kids. Shaq's become one of our better on-ball defenders we've got. And, you know, he has to play. He's so good on offense. So he's guys like Shaq buying into the defense. Quinterly's playing a lot better defense than what anybody had given him credit before. Petty's turned into one of the best two-way players in the country, in my opinion, just with how he's shooting it and his defense. Primo's maybe one of the best two-way freshmen in the country. I mean, he's 6'6 and 195 shooting it like he is, but he's also a great defender. So I think when you get Keon Ellis, another 6'5 athletic long wing, when you get that many long athletic wings, I think you can be a lot better on defense than we were last year.
Well, let's get back to Herb Jones for a second, because I thought a big shift for Alabama, just from watching you guys, was you made an adjustment a couple of times to play Herb, and I'm not comparing him to this player because I think he's more like Stacey Augmon, but almost like in a Ben Simmons-type role down the stretch of games, and he kind of took over that role in a more regular fashion. But when you made that move, I believe it was when you guys came back to beat a very, very good Furman team out of the SoCon, I thought it completely changed things, and it took a lot of pressure off Javon Quinterly. How has Herb kind of excelled in that role where he can set the table at the point of attack?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and Quinterly hasn't been able to catch a break. I mean, with the whole NCAA thing last year, and then he's had a couple different medical conditions this year. So he, you know, was in the starting lineup, out. But, I mean, he just hasn't been able to catch a break. So when we're essentially bringing him off the bench now because we've been rolling, we didn't really want to mess up what we had going. Herb's essentially our starting point guard, but he's the second tallest guy on the team at 6'8". So he, when I got here, I remember our first staff meeting, you know, and I had all the previous staff here. They kind of retained everybody, and I had a staff, and I went through the roster, and, you know, Kyra Lewis, our point guard, and I was like, you know, who's our backup point guard? They didn't really have one on the roster. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, because Dazon Ingram put his name in the portal, and I said, well, who else can play the point? You know what? Buffalo, I had started 3-point guards.
Right.
And then they said, well, Herb Jones maybe can a little bit, you know, and then, you know, they brought up Shackelford in California. So that's when I got on a plane that day and went to California. We got to make sure we get this kid, you know. But when they said Herb Jones, I'd watched a few games. I didn't see it at all. They had seen him in practice. And when I started getting him in practice, I could see it. I mean, he can handle it. He can pass. He can see over double teams. He can get pick and roll and see over it all. I think he's a mismatch nightmare, so we're not afraid to play. You know, we put the best guys we can on the floor, spread the floor out, put having him and Quinterly both out there that can kind of both pass, dribble, and shoot now kind of helps the offense. So, yeah, I mean, I like watching the Bucks play a lot too. So if you watch them, you know, I've kind of compared us to them. Obviously, they're in the NBA and we're in college, but, you know, Brook Lopez is a shooting five. Well, we've got Bruner and Reese that can both space the floor well. You know, and Giannis is their starting four, but he handles the ball as much or more than any of their guards. You know, and Herb can kind of be that for us with a bunch of shooters around him. You know, and when Quinterly shoots it as well as he's been shooting it as a point guard, you can, you know, let guys like Herb handle it a little bit more if he's got a better mismatch. So, yeah, I think it's showing all of Herb's abilities as a basketball player all around, just not as a defender. And, yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry to cut you off, Nate. No, and another thing, too, you know, you touched on, you know, Herb's being able to set people up. And one of the guys here that I think really since the Auburn game that has gone on an absolute tear is Josh Primo. Now, he does not get, in my opinion, the same type of ink as Herb Jones or John Petty. But Josh Primo in the last 2.5 weeks has gone on a tear. And I looked this up statistically. You're undefeated this year in games where he scored double figures. How much has he kind of emerged as the X factor for Alabama?
No, he's been great. And like you said, the Auburn game kind of, you know, I mean, he had played some good games, but shoot, that was a coming out deal. He had scored 14 of our first 16. If John, let me ask you this. If you knew he was going to be that good, do you think you could have slid us into your top 45 preseason?
I mean, you know, Nate, I was, as I said to you, I would have had you guys higher if I had more confidence in you defensively. I mean, you guys gave up over 80 points a game last year.
See, so my thing on that all the time is it's all about your efficiency numbers. It's like, because we're always going to give up. Right now, if you go to KenPom, we're number one in the league. It's just SEC games only, like conference-only games in the league. But I'm sure if you look, we're giving up more points than a lot of teams because we get so many more possessions. So it's not – but you're right, though. Defensively, last year, we weren't very good. We had to make an improvement. But, I was just curious if you would have maybe put us in your – I was like, man, John, we couldn't even make your top 45. Like, I thought, you know, most guys do a top 25.
Yeah, I did 45. I was always the one who wanted to do more. Well, I'll tell you what, and I know this because, you know, of who you work for, so I'm sure you know you read everything. Do you think when you evaluate your roster and you look at the fact that you lost, you know, a lottery pick type talent in Kyra Lewis and you weren't a great defensive team and you were sub 500 in SEC play, don't you think the more measured approach is to wait and see?
Yeah, maybe. We did have the two top returning scorers in the SEC, though, in Shaq and Petty, didn't we?
You did, but you gave up over 80 points a game in league play, and you were sub 500, and you lost the lottery pick.
If you score like over 80, if you give up 80, though, you know what I'm saying? What are we giving up now? I don't even know. I don't have the stats in front of me. What are we giving up in league play now?
It was a stretch. I think it was just under. It was just over 68 or 69 points a game. You know, last week when I looked it up. No, I mean I think you guys are.
We got to keep the defense rolling, don't we? Let me ask you this: if we keep the defense rolling, what do you think the ceiling is for us?
I think if you guys can keep the defense going, it is more than realistic for you guys to be one of four teams playing on April 3rd.
Boy, that would be fun. Let me say this. Our players, I think, deserve it. They've done a great job buying into the defense. Our defense is actually ahead of our offense. If you go to KenPom, I did look at that recently. I haven't looked at, like, the raw numbers. Like, I'm more of, like, the efficiency because, like, we get so many possessions that the raw numbers are going to be high. And I even tell our guys, like, we're going to be one of the leading rebounding teams in the country every year. But don't get fooled by that. You got to look at rebounding percentage. Like, because we're going to have so many possessions, there's going to be more rebounds to be had. Like, if we're not up there in defensive rebounding percentage, we're not a good rebounding team. So that's kind of more what I look at. But I think we were 13th in offensive efficiency and 10th in defensive efficiency. So it's coming. Our guys, I mean, shoot, it would be great if they could be playing on that last weekend. And the way we shoot it, you know, we'd have to make shots four games in a row, but we've been shooting it pretty well here in January.
Well, and a big key to that is obviously getting, you know, fully healthy, and that's directly related to Jordan Bruner, the grad transfer from Yale, who went out, you know, with a knee injury. Is there any update on a potential timetable for his return?
Yeah, you know what? So he's been able to shoot. He's been really good. He's on the side in practice, and he's a really high IQ, heady leader type. So he's kind of been like an assistant coach almost in practice, but trying to do rehab at the same time, kind of talk. So after practice, he always gets shots up. He looked good shooting it today. The original time frame they gave me was 4 to 6 weeks. It'll be 2 weeks, I believe, Wednesday. He had the surgery day after a Tuesday game. So this Wednesday, in 2 days, it'll have been 2 weeks. So I don't know. Hopefully two more weeks from then, but the way he looks shooting after practice today, I'm telling my trainer, like, you know, I think, you know, it's kind of been around where Saban, you know, I met with Saban. He's like, shoot, some of our guys are back in 2 to 3 weeks. I'm pushing my trainer for more like 3 weeks instead of four. I thought he looked pretty good shooting the ball out there, but we'll see. I mean, the other thing is you don't want to overdo it. You know, maybe you get him back early for a limited amount of time. But, I mean, he was playing well. I don't know if you watched too many of our games before he went down, but he was really that Auburn game. I thought he looked great in the last 10 minutes of that.
It was tremendous.
Yeah, he played great. Even the Kentucky game, the game he went down, he was playing well up until he went down with 10 minutes to go. I thought that Kentucky game kind of showed what our team was about, to be honest with you, because Herb, as you know, as good as Herb's been playing, like you said before, he's kind of doing a little bit of everything for us. And Quinterly was out. Herb got hurt 8 minutes into the game, so now we basically don't have a point guard. Shaq, Petty, Primo kind of took it, but our top two guys, and Quinterly and Herb, were out. And then Bruner was out the last 10 minutes of the game, and we still got a pretty convincing win on the road at their place. So I think that game, more than maybe any, kind of showed where the whole team defensively and just offensively, even, you know, guys moving the ball move well. I thought that showed kind of where we had come that game right there.
So you think mid-February for Bruner, is that fair?
You know what? What's today's date? The 25th?
25th.
I'm hoping early February, to be honest with you. The 27th would be 2 weeks. So what did that put us? There's a calendar. February, I don't know. Maybe mid, yeah. Early to mid-February, I'm hoping.
Got it. Well, you know, Nate, it's interesting.
You're going to be texting me every day starting early February asking me if he's available.
Hey, Nate, you know, we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence is not then by, obviously, design. It's by habit. That's a quote that I live by.
I like that. That's good. It's a good quote to live by. Who's that quote from? Is that Aristotle? Who is that?
I believe it's Aristotle. Yeah, I got to look it up to be sure. It's a deep philosopher, though. I'll look it up. I'll have it for you by the end of the interview. And I never want to compare Alabama to Auburn, but I was talking to a couple of coaches, and obviously been watching you guys, obviously, you know, in every game that you play. You know, with the exception of having a jet, like smaller guard like Jarrett Harper, you look at your team this year and you've got obviously big athletic wings, and you've also got shooting, like you mentioned, at the five with people like, you know, Bruner and obviously Alex Reis and Herb Jones at the four. Does the makeup of your team this year, with the exception of not having maybe a jet like Jarrett Harper is on under 6 foot, kind of remind you of the Auburn team 2 years ago that went to a Final Four?
Yeah, so you're going to make all the Alabama Crimson Tide fans mad comparing us to Auburn, but it's probably not a bad comparison. And I watched a lot of Auburn as they got late in the tournament. When you're playing in your own league, you know, when I was in the MAC, that was my last year in the MAC, you don't see a ton of everybody else across the country. But, Auburn was good that year. Obviously, they went to the Final Four. And I think it's not a bad comparison with shooting at the big spot. Warring athletic wings, you know, Quinterly can kind of break down any defense, get into it, and Quinterly's been playing great for us. So, you know, if we get him back to where he was maybe against Tennessee before he was out for a couple of weeks, I think our overall play would, you know, continue to go up. So, probably not a bad comparison. Just make sure that the Crimson Tide fans know that wasn't me making a comparison. That was you. We can't compare anything to Auburn or this place, I found out.
Alabama head coach Nate Oates joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Alabama winners of 9 in a row, 13-4 entering Tuesday's showdown with Kentucky. You know, Nate, you've mentioned Coach Saban, you know, a couple of times. You know, and I know that, you know, you've used him as a resource since you got the Alabama job. What has been his reaction to this surge by Alabama basketball over the last month or so?
Well, it's not like I've got daily conversations with him, so he was in the middle of trying to win a couple big games himself. I did. I went over there and met with him the week after he won the national championship. I had a short meeting, I think on that Monday, just kind of. And he's great. I mean, he kind of asked us, you know, he asked about different players, different guys. Said he watched a couple of the games, you know, on TV. It's hard for him to actually come to a game. He came to one last year, and I kind of peeked out of the corner of my eye and saw a super long line of people wanting to get autographs. So I kind of understand why he doesn't show up to a ton of games in person, but he does shoot. Even last year, he called me kind of when we were struggling and left me a voicemail, you know, just hang in there, you know, cause he had had the injuries too last year. They had a bunch of injuries. I mean, shoot, you know, everybody around here gets upset when they don't make the last year was the first year they didn't make the playoffs. Well, you know, when you missed as many guys as he did with injuries, you know, we had a lot of injuries last year. So he, call him up. He's been good that way, but I think he enjoys basketball shooting. He has that noontime basketball league, he calls it. You know, when they're in the dead period in the spring when they all get out, he's, you know, he's the GM, the coach. He drafts up. He gives himself the best squad on the floor and makes sure they get a win every time. But he kind of jokes about that. But he's actually a big basketball guy. Him and Izzo are still buddies and talk. So I assume he's enjoying us winning, but I don't get to talk to him too often.
Well, you do get to rub elbows with other, obviously, established coaches in the SEC. So many great coaches in this league. You know, many have went to a Final Four. For you personally, even though you had so much success, you know, at Buffalo, you know, you won multiple games in the NCAA tournament when you were at Buffalo. What was it like for you making the jump from that level to the SEC in a power conference?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think, what is it, 6 or 7 coaches in our league have been to a Final Four? Is that right?
Yeah, I mean,
somebody's told me that.
We'll add it up now, but I mean,
yeah, there's a lot. I mean, you look, Ben Allen, Crean's been in a Final Four.
Calipari, Frank Martin, Rick Barnes.
Rick Barnes, Frank Martin, I think there's
Bruce Pearl.
There's at least 6. Pearl, yeah, there's 6 right there. So to go against, I mean, that's almost half the coaches. To go against that number of guys that have coached at that high level, and then some of the ones that haven't made it, Final Four are really good coaches as well. I mean, it's, you know, you like to test yourself against the best. When, you know, when we were at Buffalo, there's good coaching going on in the MAC. There's good coaching going on in high school. But to go against some of the guys that, as a high school coach, you watched, you know, like Calipari, watch win a national championship, or,
right,
you know, just any of these guys that have been coaching for a while and done a really good job. Rick Barnes, obviously, you know, all the great years he had at Texas. No, I at the end of the day, it's your players on the floor. Got to win the game. Now, I do remember that when Danny White, who just got the AD job at Tennessee, hired me at Buffalo. So when he was going through the interview process for a few days, and he, He spent a lot of time talking to me. I think right before he kind of offered me the job, he asked me something, and that was, you know, Keith Dambrot had kind of been running the MAC pretty well.
Yep.
At that time, you know, and Bobby Hurley came in and, you know, went to the tournament in our second year. And he, you know, I remember he asked me, like, you know, Nate, how are you going to do? And you look down the sideline and you see Coach Dambrot on the other side. And, you know, what's your thought process going to be? You know, something along those lines. I think, well, shoot, man, I'm not playing Keith in one-on-one. Like, my players got to be his players. And, like, I'm going to coach my guys up, and they got to go win the game. And sure enough, my first year, we're playing Dambrot's squad in the MAC Tournament Championship. And so we had a shot at the buzzer to win it and go to the NCAA tournament my first year. So I think about that often. You know, I kind of compare, asked how you – I wasn't thinking about coaching against Coach Dambrot, even though he's a great coach. I was just thinking about putting my players in the best spot they could to succeed. And kid hit a big shot, and we go to the NCAA tournament. So we're doing the same thing here. Just figure out a way to put the players I got on the floor in the best place they can to succeed, and hopefully they can beat the other team's players. And we're going against some really good coaches, and you got to be on point every night with your coaching here in the SEC for sure.
No, you definitely do. And, you know, Nate, one thing, too, that, you know, you've done, obviously, at both spots, at Buffalo and Alabama, is give your kids great confidence. You know, I remember a game you won at Buffalo when you were at Syracuse, and you said after the game, you know, you felt like you had better players than them. And earlier this year, too, you know, you spoke out about, you know, a situation after Illinois beat Duke at Duke, and then, you know, obviously you had a mea culpa with Coach K after the fact. I was curious, at what point after you said what you said regarding Coach K did you feel like you shouldn't have said it?
Well, kind of when I walked out of the you know, I go back, I was a high school coach like 8 years ago. We won the state championship in 2013. So, you know, back when I was at Romulus, people didn't care too much what you said. Now that you're, you know, and at Buffalo, they obviously got a lot more attention than high school, but it's still not in the SEC. Now all of a sudden you say anything, and next thing you know, it's all over the place. But so that day we had a meeting with the media. Somebody asked it, and no idea was coming. I, you know, kind of caught me off guard a little bit maybe. But you got to be prepared for anything. And, you know, in this job, and I got to get better at dealing with media and questions like that. But right after that, me and my wife was waiting for me. Me and my wife had to do an interview with Crimson Tide Productions, the kind of Alabama production yep. career for Coaches Versus Cancer.
Right.
So they did a whole kind of hour interview on our whole can, and they did a really good job. I'm sure you could probably find it. It's out there. They on our whole can. You know, my first year at Buffalo, she went through the cancer deal. So they interviewed us for close to an hour. When I get out of that interview, I was already thinking that kind of the whole time, man, I got to figure out how to reach out to Coach K, and I shouldn't have said that. You know, outside of the fact I assigned motive to him for doing, and I had no idea why he said what he did, but you shouldn't be assigning motive to other coaches for doing what they do with their teams or saying what they say about their own teams. Like everybody's got their own. It's different. My, you know, us dealing with COVID here at Alabama is different than what any other place is dealing. Us, you know, different places have different stuff going on. So that was the wrong part about it. Now the part about me thinking we should continue to play, like I stand by that 100%. I just, it's dumb to assign motive to somebody without, you know, talking to them and getting their perspective, which I didn't do. So I knew I owed him an apology. I was thinking through that whole cancer deal, and that was kind of, you know, when you go through an interview like that, it takes you back to what you went through with the cancer thing. And
sure,
that was a little bit emotional. But as soon as I got out of there, I got a hold of my sport administrator. I got his number. I had his number, I think, for some. I called him, left a voicemail, texted him. He called me back. He was great. Very gracious, told me he had no issues, like he understood. And he kind of explained why he had said what he said, but he didn't have to do that even. But, you know, he was great. And I talked to Coach Hurley, you know, obviously, being in the Duke.
Sure, yeah. Your former boss.
Yeah, exactly. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be in this deal. So I talked to Coach K and Coach Hurley. Outside of that, you know, there was nobody else I really needed to talk to on that stuff.
Well, one thing that Coach K has had great experience with has been being the hunted. And I know that, you know, this has been brought up, you know, around your program here, you know, the last couple of weeks about how you are now going from a situation where you were the hunter to now being the hunted. And I know the mindset obviously can always be that you're the one doing the hunting, but we are going into a game Tuesday night where Alabama becomes an opportunity for Kentucky to be a big win. It's almost like things have gotten reversed into how they're normally supposed to happen in college basketball. How has it been dealing with that?
You know what? We've talked to our guys about that exact thing. Like you said, you know, we got to stay the hunter. But like you said, I mean, it's, you got a big bullseye on your back. Now, I've dealt with it because at Buffalo for those, my last 2 years in the MAC, we had that going on, you know, especially that last year when we were ranked in the top 25 all year. Been forever since anybody in the MAC had been, so everybody's shooting for you. You get their best. Like, it's now to the point that I'm going to start talking to our guys about some of the same conversations I had with, you know, my Buffalo crew, and it's different. Obviously, we're playing Kentucky, you know, instead of Bowling Green or Toledo or whatever, right. You know, but, like, it's Kentucky. I mean, they got pros on there. You still look at mock draft boards, they've got multiple guys in the first round on this team. So we may, you know, we still got to hunt them, and they may be coming after us with a bullseye on our back. There's still a really, really talented team over there that we've got to beat. But, you know, if we're playing for some seeding in the NCAA tournament, like, you've got to – every game is a big deal. I mean, all the momentum that we've got going now, 9 games in a row, you got a couple bad ones in a row, that all goes out the window. So if we want to make a run in the NCAA tournament – like, you can't have letdowns. And I don't expect us to run the table. That would be, you know, insane. But, like, you know, when we do lose, and I've told our guys, like, we've got no problem losing as long as it's not because of an effort or a focus or something we can control. I mean, if you just miss shots and you take an L, you take an L. But let's make sure we're giving an effort that demands a win every night out.
Well, you put yourself in position to be in position to earn a high seed, as you just referenced. What do you think, from your vantage point, are the biggest keys over the next 6 weeks to keep getting better and to be a team, like we talked about, that can be one of the final teams playing in this year's NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I think you've got to recognize the areas you have to improve and make improvements. You know, we got to be a better rebounding team. We've talked about that. Our turnovers have been too high here lately. We got to get our turnovers squared away. We've still got room to grow in the defensive end. We've had screw ups there. I think just never being satisfied, even if even the LSU game, you know, we blow them out. It's 40 something at one point. There was plenty of work that we needed to do to get better. And we came back and had a cleanup video the next day. Like, we're just going to try to keep getting better every day. Stuff we've got to, you know, make major improvements on. We got to put big points emphasis on and get better at it. If you keep doing that, I think you'll be where you need to be come March.
Nate, just to clarify a couple of things, that quote was by Aristotle. And, you know, it really, you know, it means a lot to know that you're always reading, or at least you have people obviously feeding you what's being written.
Yeah, that's good. You know, I got to keep you on your toes, John. And that was pretty impressive that you're quoting Aristotle. You do a lot of reading with the
every day, Nate. Every day, I just, you know, I think there's different, like, you know, obviously people who have had, obviously had great significance, just trying to, I think, you know, broaden yourself. I try to do a lot of reading and a lot of things that aren't related to sport because, as you know, we get caught up too much here in our tunnel vision a little bit. It's good to broaden yourself. I didn't always learn that, but as I get older, I do a little bit.
What are you reading now, John? What do you got going
on? There is a book right now that I would say it's changed my life. I'm actually going through it the second time. I read it this year during the pandemic. The Infinite Game. It's by Simon Sinek. It's about, you know, living life with an infinite mindset versus a finite mindset. It's like, you know, you can decide to obviously, you know, get highly contested arguments with, you know, assistant coaches and head coaches about power rankings and things like that, or you can just, you know, take the high road and give the facts. I choose to take the high road and give the facts.
I like that. I'm gonna have to get the book. Well, I like to read. It's hard to read during the year, but I do like to read a lot in the off season So I try to read a little bit during the year. You got any other recommendations?
That one has had the biggest impact. I'd say I look at different things, you know, in different areas that I've read. I would say there was a book that Coach Calipari, I think, had used as a sports psychologist years ago, How Champions Think. It's by Bob Rotelli. He's a sports psychologist. I thought that had a lot of good principles, too.
I haven't read either one. I'm going to get them both. We're on
but
it.
But you're reading Twitter and you're reading, obviously, my previews and my columns. The thing I love about this, and you know this because obviously you've worked for, obviously, you know, an intense coach in Bobby Hurley, who obviously, you know, is now at Arizona State and he was at Buffalo. It's just like, you know, coaches always remember, obviously, the things that, you know, like that didn't obviously go their way when it comes to media, which again has nothing to do with the final outcome. But like in one of the lead like stories in my column today was about Josh Primo. And like that just gets glossed over.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. If somebody hadn't fed me that info, I didn't even know.
Oh, yeah. No, I know who's feeding it to you. It's all good. Appreciate a couple minutes.
All right. Thanks, John. All right. Roll Tide, man.
We'd like to thank Alabama's Nate Oates for joining us on the College Hoops Day podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Day podcast with John Rothstein on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We have the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also a reminder to find and listen to the College Hoops Today podcast on all the popular podcast platforms. And before we get to our social media portion of the show, I want to tell you about Stereo. Do you find yourself talking to your smartphone when you're listening to a podcast? You know they can't hear you, but that doesn't matter. You've got something to add to the conversation. That's what the new Stereo app is all about. You can interact with your favorite show in real time. Sports fans know we always want to get an opinion in a hot take or even a question every time we listen. For me, that is what I love about Stereo. If I'm listening to a show, I can drop in with my own questions or opinion on any topic. Stand by for the hottest takes on the best pizza coast to coast from yours truly and more. And now College Hoops Today is excited to announce we're joining in on the fun and giving you a new way to interact with us. Just download Stereo from your favorite app store and be sure to follow me at John Rothstein so you can connect with us whenever we go live. Interested? We'll have more details at the end of the show. But if, like the average Hoops fan, you're anxious to get in the game, go to Stereo.com/John Rothstein now to get started. That's Stereo.com/John Rothstein to get started. Stereo, speak freely. Now we'd like to get to our social media portion of the program. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question will come from David Castro. And it's, John, I'm still too hurt about UCLA's inability to guard the ball in bounds. Well, that's obviously to be expected after the loss on Saturday against Stanford. UCLA was on a tear, winners of 8 straight in the Pac-12 before the loss to Stanford. Mick Cronin doing yeoman's work. Obviously, Chris Smith not available for UCLA due to an ACL tear. He's out for the year. But with that said, UCLA still has the bulk of its schedule in the Pac-12 remaining. They'll play Oregon twice in the next week. They also got a game looming with USC. Meanwhile, coming up next, James Michael wants to know, what's it going to take for Florida State to get some respect in the rankings? Well, James, I'll tell you right now, I voted Florida State number 20 with my AP vote this week. They came in at number 16. I spent some time talking about Florida State earlier in the podcast. To me, this is a team that can get better and better because, again, it hasn't gotten the best we were going to see this year out of Scotty Barnes. Our next question comes from Christian. It's, John, where do you see North Carolina finishing in the ACC? You know, the Tar Heels have been a team that has quietly played good basketball the last couple of weeks, 1-5 out of 6. A big ACC swing game between North Carolina and Pitt Tuesday night in the 4-1-2. The winner in that game will have a new sense of momentum. Our next question comes from Max Kane. It's, John, it's Baylor and Gonzaga at the top, but can anyone else beat them? I'll tell you what, and this goes back to another thing we talked about at the top of the podcast. Michigan, to me, was the team that looked like it had the ability, because of how good they were on both sides of the floor, to give Gonzaga and Baylor their biggest test. But Michigan, again, as of now, not slated because of the 2-week pause due to this new strain of COVID-19 to take the floor again in a game-like setting until February the 11th. Something to keep in mind. Five Good Nuggets this week is being brought to you by Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. You know it's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Now, let's get to those nuggets.
Five Good Nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, Villanova's X Factor. Jermaine Samuels looks like just like that for Villanova. Samuels in two games last week against Seton Hall and Providence averaged 15 points and 9.5 rebounds. Villanova 25-5 over the last 4 years when Samuels reaches double figures. Nugget number two, separating from the pack. Talking about Houston in the American Athletic Conference, two questions for you. Will Houston lose another game before the NCAA tournament? And will the American Athletic Conference have another at-large candidate for the NCAA tournament emerging before Selection Sunday? Nugget number three, ironing your stripes. Justin Arnes has emerged as a legitimate piece in Ohio State's rotation, averaging 11 points over his last four games, made 13 three-point shots during that span, only averaged 2.9 points per game last season. Nugget number four, an offensive defensive effort. LSU's defense is offensive. The Tigers in two games last week gave up an average of 93.5 points in losses to Alabama and Kentucky. Regardless of how talented this team offensively, it can't be taken seriously at the top of the SEC until it shows some sort of willingness to defend. Nugget number five, the unsung presence. North Carolina freshman R.J. Davis is emerging as a symbol of stability for the Tar Heels. He's reached double figures in his last four games, has only committed a total of four turnovers in his last 77 minutes played. Buy stock in this kid. It's going to be a good one for Roy Williams. Now, let's get to some games to watch.
Games to watch. Games to watch.
Three big ones coming up on Tuesday. Oklahoma at Texas. Shaka Smart announced earlier on Monday that he has tested positive for COVID-19 and is isolating. Kentucky at Alabama, obviously, and then Missouri at Auburn. Auburn freshman point guard Sharif Cooper had 11 assists in the first half Saturday at South Carolina. Wednesday, you got Boise State and Colorado State. Big litmus test coming for the Broncos. And then Thursday, Oregon at UCLA. We'd like to thank Alabama head coach Nate Oates for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Want to do more than just listen? Be part of the show no matter what you like. Comedy, pop culture, lifestyle, sports, news. There's something you'll love on the Stereo app. Then submit audio messages to any of the hosts to join the conversation in real time. Download Stereo today, your favorite app store, create your own avatar and profile, and be sure to follow me at John Rothstein so you'll be ready to join us when we go live on Stereo. This week, I'll be live on Stereo at 3 o'clock Eastern on Thursday, so now you know when to join the conversation. To get started, go to Stereo.com/John Rothstein. Stereo.com/John Rothstein. Stereo, speak freely. Talk to you Thursday at 3 Eastern.